Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network. Tons of questions and comments coming in about Julie Fedorchuk and her run for Congress. We will get to those, I promise, but I've got a window here. I've got a window to finally talk to some of these individuals, and I'm making it sound as though the next individual in any way has ducked an interview with me. She never has. Kirsten Baszler, the current superintendent of public instruction, didn't get the endorsement or the letter of support or whatever you want to call it from the Republican convention, when in fact she's gotten that every time and then went on to win her race every time. She joins us now. Superintendent Baszler, good to have you back on News and Views.
Thanks for having me on, Joel. Thanks for working with me. I know it was a little tight the last few days for us to get a time, but I sure am happy to be with you today.
Well, I learned in school a long time ago, don't tick off the superintendent. So there, it didn't always work for me. But I want to talk to you about this. You didn't get the nomination. A man named Bartlett got the nomination, and his platform was I'll use the word interesting, confusing at times. I mean, Ten Commandments have to be taught in school. Christianity needs to be the focus of K-12 education. And you got beat by a guy like this. What happened?
Yeah, well, as you said, I'd gone to the convention for the last 4 years in a row and got the letter of support in 12 and 16 and in 2020. This year, I came to the convention and I presented my vision, my ideas, presented our record for what we've accomplished and where I wanted to take education in the future. My opponent presented his ideas, his vision, and more people at that convention liked his thoughts, his ideas, and his vision for education than they like mine. He got more votes. He won.
So let's talk about that, because there is, having known you through the years, I don't believe that the main focus of what you think K-12 education should do is teach Christianity. And I want to make sure about that. Do you believe that we're not doing a good job in our schools of teaching Christianity, and we need to be teaching Christian principles and Christianity in our schools?
So, Joel, let's just say that my father was come from a very devout Catholic family. I'm a very very dedicated, devout Catholic myself. I believe in Christianity. It's, the way I raise my children. I hope it's the way my children will choose to raise my grandchildren. But with that being said, as the state superintendent, it is not the role of education, and that's very clear. My opponent really does like to talk about the Constitution and North Dakota's Constitution, and so do I, to be quite honest with you. And he often quotes the Constitution's Article 8, Section 1, that does say that part of the responsibility for public education or for schools in North Dakota is to assure a high degree of intelligence, patriotism, integrity, and morality on the part of every voter in the government. And so, yes, that is how we lead, but it doesn't say Christianity in our Constitution. And what he chooses to not go on is to finish that Section 1 of our Article 8 of the Constitution that says it's a uniform system of free public schools throughout the state that is open to all children of the state of North Dakota, and this is important, and free from sectarian control. So you can't pick and choose which parts of the Constitution you're going to quote and then build your platform or vision of education on that. The Section 4 goes on to say that the legislative assembly shall take such steps as may be necessary to prevent illiteracy, promote industrial, scientific, and educational improvements. And so if we are going to go to the constitutional purpose of education and schools in North Dakota, we have to take a look at our Constitution's Article 8 in its totality. The last time I checked, the people that I visit with, my family cabinet, our students, communities that I go to every week, they don't want to have our schools be teaching religion. They want it to be a place where their teachers can be supported, have good supportive environments. They want their children to be able to learn, to read and write and do math and be successful for 21st century needs. They are not talking to me about Christianity. They are taking care of that with their own faith, their own religions, in their own families and in their own communities. That's not what they're asking me for in public school.
I'm not trying to pretend these two groups are the best friends, but let me use these two as an example. If someone applied to a school district and you were the school board member, not the head of education in the whole state of North Dakota, and that individual was a Muslim or that individual was a Jew, do you think you'd hire them if they were qualified to do it, or do you think that they should be allowed to teach?
Oh, absolutely, I would hire them. If they were qualified to teach and they wanted to, it's absolutely, you know, depending, maybe I wouldn't teach them to teach the Christianity class if I was in a school that offered that as a, because some of our schools do offer as electives the study of Buddhism. They offer the study of Judaism. They offer the study of Christianity. I wouldn't teach that person, I wouldn't hire that person to teach a Christianity class, but I certainly would not. Eliminate them from being part of our school system because of their religion.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. Should, and by the way, that answer that I got from Mr. Bartlett was what we in radio call a pregnant pause. It was the whole, in the end, his answer was it should be up to the school board. And if you're judging that employee based upon their religion, you know, should any school board be allowed to judge an employee based upon their religion?
I don't believe they should. I mean, I guess our labor commissioner would be the best, Nathan would be the best person to answer this, but I believe that there are actually laws against public institutions or public entities from discriminating against prospective employees because of their religious belief.
Okay, let me ask you this. Should public dollars, public education dollars, taxpayer dollars be going to fund private schools?
So we've talked about this previously. I think you know how I stand on this. I do believe that our families and our students most specifically do deserve choices to meet their needs, tailor their needs to their individual needs as students and being supported. I do not think that public dollars, I don't think public dollars should go to any entity, whether it's a school or any other entity, without the accountability of where are you spending this money? How are you spending this money? Are you getting the results? And are you opening your services to all people, not just a specific class of people or a specific group of people? So I do think that there are students in this state that may not have services that are available to them. Their school district may simply not have the personnel and or the access to opportunities. And I think that the state does have a responsibility for instance, the students in my home area of Carson and Flasher, if they don't have the opportunity for a class to being offered in that school, they should be able to take it from another entity and have the state provide for them that open access to the same opportunities that students in Fargo and Bismarck have.
How do you make that determination? You have a student in Carson. They want to take French. French isn't available in their school. And so, you know, you want the money to follow to the public or the private school that they could go get that in. I mean, how do you gauge that? How do you make sure that check follows? Does that go through your department in your world or in your vision, or how does it work?
Absolutely. It must go through my division because my division, my office is the one that is held accountable to the taxpayer dollars. And so you and I have talked about this before. I do not appreciate flow through grants where I just simply cut a check out and don't have any accountability or any oversight as a report. That's a whole other conversation. But how this works with public school or for education, for K-12 education, what we need to do is we need to have a separate source of funding, not taking any money away from our public schools, but a separate source of funding for our families to have access to. If, for instance, a child, you mentioned French, they could take French from our North Dakota Center for Distance Ed. It used to be called the Correspondence School, and now it's our Center for Distance Ed. All of their courses are provided digitally. So they could take it through the Correspondence School, the North Dakota Center for Distance Ed. They could do that. But if they choose it, and there's these two examples. If you are a child in a small Class B school and you've taken English from your English teacher, 7th grade all the way through 11th grade, you're headed off to a Ivy League or, you know, maybe one of our research universities, you want to take something a little bit more challenging, and you believe you've learned everything you can from that English teacher. Even if the course is offered, that child and that family should be able to take an advanced course from someplace that they choose. And if your child in Carson, you want to take French, or your child in Carson that has dyslexia and they don't have the specialist located in Carson to help your child with dyslexia, you should be able to have assistance and be provided some support. The process as I see it is that whoever you as a provider are, whether you are Red Door Dyslexia Training or you are Center for Distance Ed, which they are, or any other entity that wants to provide services to our students in North Dakota, they need to apply to me. They need to get approved by the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction, ensure that all of the mechanisms and regulations that are in place for our public schools are in place for those private providers. And only when they provide results, evidence of results, can they keep receiving, funding for from public taxpayer dollars. They have to provide good services to all people, and they have to be held accountable to their results, just like public schools.
Pick a dollar amount. Doesn't matter to me. Let's use $5,000. Okay. Sure. So Joel sends his child to private school, and because of this whole notion that, hey, Joel pays taxes too, and so thereby Joel should get $5,000 to follow his child's and help with that tuition. Should that ever happen?
I don't believe that it should. It's not a parental thing. In my opinion, and all of our my legislative friends who are working on this issue know this is how I stand as well. We should not be delivering money out directly to parents. The analogy that I use is I raised my kids in Mandan, and there was free public swimming lessons, or not free, but there was swimming lessons at the Mandan Community Center. And I could take those, have my kids take those at a discounted rate. That was available to me. Or I think Apple Creek Country Club offers swimming lessons. I have a choice of using the public-supported park dollars swimming lessons or the private. I shouldn't expect that the city taxpayers of Mandan pay for my private swimming lessons for my kids. Same thing with police and fire. My kids had to be safe walking home from school, knowing that Mandan Police Department was going to keep them safe. I couldn't hire a private security firm to get them to and from school safely. So again, there's a difference there. There's a difference with public accountability.
Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about where education is going to be in 5 years, 10 years, all of that. Also, she made reference to the fact that she is not going to stand for, no longer wants to do with anything with these pass-through grants. I think that's code, ladies and gentlemen, for the position that she and her office were put in vis-a-vis Ray Holmberg and what happened with the North Dakota School Board Association. So this one should be a pretty quick answer. I'm with Superintendent Kirsten Baszler, who was not endorsed at the Republican convention, but will be on the ballot in the primary. Ms. Baszler, I want to ask you, you mentioned pass-through grants. Is an example of that, the grant that came your way that went by directive through your department to the North Dakota School Board Association, which allowed them to fund Ray Holmberg's trip to Prague. Is that one of the ones we're talking about?
That's an example of a pass-through grant where once it leaves my office, there's no accountability. And I just, as we've talked about before, I can't support that. As a citizen, as a Republican, as a person, I can't support public dollars going out without any accountability.
Okay, there. We'll let it end there because there's much more to talk about there, but it isn't through you or your office. What does education look like? Public education now. What does it look like in 5 or 10 years?
I'm really excited about what public education looks like in 5 to 10 years because I'm really excited about the students that are in our schools right now. They are curious and they are facing things that no other generation has faced, generative AI. So we've had kind of these theory things going on for the last few years. We've got, you know, Alexis that, you know, tells us what temperature it is and how many milliliters equal, how many ounces in a milliliter, that type of thing. But generative AI has just blown up. And what they're facing is some really exciting opportunities as well as some really challenging situations to be able to harness that technology that is expanding rapidly. So what do we need to do with that? We need to make sure that we are allowing those kids to be curious, not just teaching them what to think, but actually how to use what they're learning in schools. And so excited about the opportunities that are there for our kids as with computer science and cybersecurity. As you know, North Dakota became the first state in the nation to require that all of our schools have that included in instruction, elementary, middle, and high school, and have it for graduation. But we also have some things, we have some challenges ahead of us that we need to make sure that we are addressing. And one of those is our teacher shortage. We need to actually begin to address. We've set up the apprenticeship programs and by working with our state and our school districts. We are expecting that we'll license 700 new teachers within the next 3 years. These are people that are working as teacher's aides or paraprofessionals currently in our schools across the state. We're helping them get their teacher license. And so that's exciting. But one of the things, I think school is going to look very different. The one teacher, one classroom, 25 kids in a classroom, I don't think that that's the way we're going to see it. It's not the next education workforce that this generation of new teachers and maybe mid-career teachers want anymore. It's more about team teaching. It's more about bringing our kids together to solve problems. And so that's what I'm excited, and that's why I chose to run again, is because we've got to focus on our teacher shortage and get better working conditions for them. We've got to increase our family engagement, because we can't do this alone as schools. You hear often, Joel, in your area especially, about behavioral health and mental health and the challenges of families coming together with schools. We've got to do a better job of making sure that and we're providing pathways and opportunities for our schools to work better with families so they're not out there alone. We've got it. We are actually helping our school boards get training on outcome-based budgeting, results-based budgeting, rather than just spending the same amount of money what we did. So it's exciting. I'm excited for our kids.
How do people, I've got 10 seconds, how do they get in touch with your campaign?
Email me, and you can reach me at KirstenBaszler.com.
There you go.
Thank you.
KirstenBaszler.com. Thank you. Appreciate your time.